I've titled my message, Breaking the Barriers of Your Blessings. Praise God. Breaking the Barriers of Your Blessings. Now, I'm going to start with a story that I had some recently. It was a story about a man who had some psychological problems. And this man went to see his psychiatric doctor. And when he got to his doctor, he told his doctor his story, his experience. He said, doctor, he said, for a long while, I've not been able to sleep well. In fact, for months right now, I can't just sleep. My mind is not just at rest. And the doctor asked him, so what exactly is the problem? And the man told the doctor, he said, listen, I just have a feeling that there's something right under my bed that is going to come out one day and kill me or fight me. And because of that, I've not been able to sleep. So the doctor asked him, have you checked under your bed? He said, I have, but I can't find anything. But I have a feeling that there's something right under my bed that is going to come out and destroy me. So the psychiatric doctor looked at him and said, this is a serious issue. And the doctor told him that he was going to put him on a treatment plan. And the treatment plan was going to entail having 3 hours every single week, going over a few weeks. And when he calculated the amount he was going to spend, it was huge, running into some tens of thousands of dollars. And this man was sad and went back home. And when he got home, he kind of was living his life. Until one day, he went to the shopping mall and ran into this doctor again. And when he saw this doctor, the doctor ran to him and said, what happened? I've not seen you for some few weeks now. You never came back to start your treatment plan. And this man told his doctor, he said, you know what? I'm okay now. And the psychiatric doctor was really inquisitive, wanted to find out what he has done in order to make himself okay. And the man told him, he said, my neighbor helped me. And he asked, he said, so how did your neighbor help? What did your neighbor tell you? So he said, just one day we're cutting grass and he was cutting his grass and we're talking over the fence. And I told my neighbor what I was going through and how much it was going to cost me to have some treatment. And his neighbor told him, hang on, this is a simple problem. He said, you have a bed that probably has 4 legs. And you are afraid that there's something right under your bed that is going to come out to kill you. He said, why don't you cut off the legs of your bed and put it on the floor and sleep? And you don't have to have any fear of something coming out to destroy you. And he said, that's exactly what I did. And I've never had to think there's something under my bed. Amen. Common sense, right? Praise God. Now, God's blessings to us is guaranteed. God's intention is for every one of us to be blessed. In fact, it says in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. It says, God has blessed us. And I want to say to Hill City Church this morning, God has blessed you. God has blessed you incredibly so much that you cannot even exhaust the blessings of God. He says, God has blessed us with all manner of blessings. He says, blessed be the Father of our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, he says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5, he says, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So one thing that is not in doubt is the fact that God blessed us in the heavenly places. So we are blessed. And listen, what does it mean to be blessed? I sort of thought about it some time ago, that what does it mean to be blessed? To be blessed simply means to have God's favor over your life. In fact, it's found from the Greek word that says mekaroi. And mekaroi simply means to be fully satisfied. In other words, when you are blessed, it means that you are fully satisfied. satisfied with the blessings and the favor of God. How good is that? Fully, completely satisfied that you are not wanting any single thing. You are satisfied with what God has given to you in life. You are satisfied with life. How many of us are truly there? Some of us are on the journey there, but we are not there. Because in reality, there are some certain things that stops us, that inhibits us. There are some barriers, praise God, that sort of stands in the way of us enjoying the fullness of God's blessing. And this barrier is as a result of the ministry of the devil himself, because the Bible, Jesus himself acknowledged this in the book of John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the devil has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So that's the ministry of the devil. So what the devil tries to do at every point in time is to ensure that you do not enjoy the blessing that God has given to you. He doesn't want to see the plans of God over your life coming into fulfillment. And the reality is that there are some certain barriers that sort of stands in our ways. And that's why this morning I want to talk about how to remove some of those barriers. We're going to identify those barriers, and we'll talk about replacing those, just as the way that this guy removed the four legs of his bed so that he can sleep and have a good sleep. Praise God. So this morning I'm going to be talking about the four barriers that we need to replace, the four barriers that we need to get rid of. But before I start talking about them, I want to talk about intentionality too, because it's important for us to understand as Christians that some certain things do not happen automatically. We have to be intentional about it. And intentional is really understanding, being aware of the final outcome of what we're about to do and ensuring that we take the right decision that would enable us to get the right outcome that we intend at the end of the day. So if the outcome for us is to enjoy the fullness of God's blessing, then we've got to be intentional about it. We've got to be intentional about some certain things in our lives, because the devil himself is very intentional, and as Christians, we need to live an intentional life. So intentionality is very important. So these four things that I'm going to be identifying today, we've got to be intentional about removing them, about getting rid of them. And the first denier of our blessing is fear. Praise God. It is fear. Fear is something that denies us to enjoy the blessings and the plan of purpose of God for our life. Fear is an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. Fear creates a barrier between us and God and makes us unable to attract the blessings of God in our lives. You know why? Because in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. In other words, fear does not emanate from the spirit, from the presence of God. In fact, fear, God cannot dwell where there is fear. And that's why when God wants to have an encounter with anyone who is afraid, what's the first thing that God says? Don't be afraid. Fear not. Praise God. Fear not. So fear makes us unattractive to the blessings of God. So if you're someone who lives in perpetual, constant fear, amen, you have got to intentionally get rid of it. And you know what the devil does with fear, how he creates fears in us? Man, you listen to your news today, you listen to your Facebook, whatever, you're just going to see all sort of news coming to you to do what? To create fear. Amen. The interest rate is going up. Life is going to be hard. It's going to be very, very difficult. There's someone who's just traveled, who's just crashed. Now, so many things are out there that create fear in us as believers. And that's the plan of the devil. And when we live in constant, perpetual fear, we are unable to attract the blessings of God into our life. So this morning, the first pillar and leg I'm going to encourage you to get rid of, church, is get rid of fear. And replace fear with faith and courage. Praise God. Replace fear with faith and courage. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, verse 4, God was speaking through his prophet to the children of Israel. Isaiah, chapter 35, verse 4. He says to them, he says, fear not. Don't be afraid. Isaiah 35, verse 4. I've got it here. It says, say to those who are fearful hearted, Be strong. Do not be afraid. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Don't be afraid. And I want to say to everyone right now who is going through that journey in life where things seem to be uncertain, don't be afraid. Praise God. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear take over you, but let faith, let courage rule your life. Let the confidence, what I call audacious faith, let it rule your heart, your life. Let it take over your being. Don't stop your life because of some certain things you had somewhere. Let your life move on based on your trust and your faith in God, based on the courage you have, on his ability that God is able to help you. Now, this morning we learned, for some of us here, that God, it's God's battle. So when you trust him, when you believe in him, just let him fight the battle on your behalf. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. So how do we please God? With faith. Amen. With faith. So get rid of fear. Get rid of the legs of fear in your life and replace it with faith this morning. Amen. Because the devil has allowed fear to run over your life and he stopped you from enjoying the blessing that God wants you to have. So I say to Hill City Church this morning, don't be afraid. Amen. Don't be afraid. Move on with your life with strength. Move on with your life with courage. And God is going to help you in Jesus' name. The second barrier I want to talk about that we need to get rid of this morning. And when I talk about getting rid of this, we've got to be intentional about it. In other words, how do you get rid of fear? Stuff your spirit with the word of God. Amen. Stuff your spirit. Listen to positive, you know, move around positive environment that will help you, that will inspire you. Praise God. Don't stuff yourself with negative stuff and expect that positive things are going to come out of your life. It doesn't work, because whatever you take in is exactly what you take out. So be intentional about who you listen to and what you listen to and what you read. Praise God. Be very, very intentional about it. For me, it's not every news that I grab that grabs my attention that I read. It's not every radio station I tune my dial on to listen. It's not everything that is on TV, because I understand in my mind that that is a strategy to create fear in me. How many of us remember during COVID, those 11 o'clock news sessions? That you'd be counting numbers, number of people have been infected. And suddenly, and you know what? You sort of count those numbers as they say them and unconsciously begin to count yourself as part of those numbers. That's what he does. Because, you see, when that fear comes, it grabs your full being and you sort of gravitate towards, you know, what that fear creates in you. Your mind sort of moves towards it. So you've got to be careful that you do not allow fear to take over your being, your thinking. Praise God. Otherwise, because at the end of the day, this is what I've come to realize. Most of the things we fear never really happen. Praise God. And sometimes I ask myself the question, why did you bother in the first instance? But it's really a ploy of the devil to get us into that mood of living in fear, so that we do not enjoy the fullness of God's blessing. So be intentional. Be intentional who speaks into your life. Because, you see, if you're not careful, you can allow other people's story of failure become yours. And that might not be the plan of God for you. So you've got to be intentional by saying, you know what? That's not my story. My story is here. And the victory that Jesus has worked for us on the cross of Calvary. Amen. And the second barrier I want to talk about is the barrier of ignorance. You know, one thing I want to say is that it's too expensive for us as Christians to live in ignorance in these days. Praise God. Because there are subtle ways in which the devil is going around to create some sort of impression about who we are as Christians. And we lose the essence of what God has made us to be. And when we begin to compromise, you know what? We lose that blessing. It's too costly. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "Be not ignorant of the devices of the plans of the devil. Because the ways of the devil are subtle and appealing. Praise God. You know, there's this thing that's going around. They say, well, Christianity is a cool religion. It's not. It's not supposed to be cool in the way most people describe it. Because they describe it, you know, this idea of coolness that you've got to be nice. You've got to be accepting of every single thing that is being thrown around to you. And that way, in our quest to be cool, in our quest to be accepting, we have denied the power of God. Praise God. We have denied the power of God. Because, you see, the devil comes in a very subtle way. He tells us, like he told Eve, he says, did God really say this? Did God really say you can depend on him for your blessing, for your success? Did God really say it? Now, if you are so sure that that's exactly what God said through his word, you know what? You stand by it, and that comes through knowledge. So replace ignorance with knowledge. Praise God. Replace ignorance. Get rid of ignorance with the knowledge. And I'm not just talking about knowledge about life, about the world itself. Knowledge about the word of God, about his promises, about his will for you. When the devil came to tempt Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 4, how did Jesus reply? He says, man shall not live by bread alone, because Jesus knew that bread alone could not sustain life. But there's also a lie that the devil has sold to this generation, that bread alone is enough. That you just have money, you just become very successful, and you're going to be fine. But we know that life is far beyond that. Amen. We know that life is far beyond that. That we cannot live by bread alone. Praise God. That life is more than bread. So I want to say to you, yes, we're not meant to be cool in the way most people talk about it. In fact, our being cool, we're supposed to be bigger than what they describe coolness to be. Christianity is a lot more than that. It involves sacrifice. It involves pain. It involves joy. It involves peace. It involves every single thing. You know, one of the things I like about the fact that as Christians, we go through some challenges and through pain is simply because it's in those moments that God's grace can be fully expressed in our lives when we learn to trust in him. That's what makes our story beautiful. Amen. That in our dying moments, that his grace is available there to help us. And we can share the incredible story of his grace helping us to overcome, leading us to victory. That's what we have. That he satisfies you with enough grace to go through your challenges. Let me tell you something. And let me say this. If there were no problems in the world, some of you probably not have a job. Praise God. Now, we have your pastor is a doctor. If everyone is not sick, everyone is perfect. He probably does not have, if everyone behaves right, we don't need the police, right? Praise God. Now, that's supposed to be the perfect world, but we know in reality, that is not the perfect world. The perfect world is full of evil, is full of challenges. But you know, for us as Christians, God gives us his grace to move through this imperfect world. And that's what makes our story beautiful. So for me, sometimes, you know, I'm satisfied because his grace is upon me to help me through the challenges and the moments that we all go through. And that's what makes our story beautiful. Paul was praying for the church in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. He says that God will fill you with the spirit of revelation and knowledge of him. That God, and that's my prayer for every one of us, church, this morning, that God will fill you with the spirit of knowledge and revelation of him, not of the world. Like I said, the world has nothing good to offer to us, but God does. And when we are filled with the knowledge of his will and his purpose, I tell you something, that will be blessing. The blessing of God will be attracted to us. Amen. Because it's through the knowledge of his will and his purpose, we know what exactly that God has in stock for us. So don't be ignorant. Fill it with the knowledge of God. Fill it with the understanding of God. When you are filled with the knowledge of God, you know that even when challenges, when problem comes, God is there to help you through. Amen. And that gives you the assurance that there is hope. You know that, yes, yesterday might not have been okay, But when you are filled with the knowledge of God, you know that your tomorrow is going to be better even than yesterday. Amen. He gives you hope. He gives you joy. That your story is not the end where you are today. That there's more to your story. Amen. In God. So the first thing I talked about today is you've got to get rid of one, fear, and replace it with faith and courage. And secondly, replace ignorance with knowledge. It's too expensive to live in ignorance. The third point, third barrier, third leg. Remember, a bed typically has four legs. Amen. So we're breaking off those legs that are not allowing us to enjoy the blessings of God and replacing them with the proper legs, just like that man did. Praise God. So replace forgiveness. Replace hate in your heart with love. Hatred. There are a lot of us right now, the reason why we're not blessed is because there's hatred in our hearts. There's unforgiveness in our hearts right now. And you know what? That's not the nature of God. You see, God's blessing cannot come to someone who has hate, unforgiveness, because that's not the nature of God. Amen. You see, God does not bless us so that we can hate people. He blesses us so that we can love. So if there's hatred in your heart, in your spirit, you know, God's spirit just finds it difficult to dwell there. Because hatred breeds sin. Vengeance. You just want to revenge. You just want to get back. You just want to do something against someone who has done something against us. The spirit of God cannot dwell around that. And that attitude cannot attract the blessings of God. Because in the book of 1 John 4:7, it says, God is love. That's the nature of God. That's the life of God. He's a God of love. And when we love, His presence comes around. When we walk in love. So if you have unforgiveness in your heart right now, if you've got hatred in your heart right now, you've got to get rid of it. Because it could be that's what's stopping you from enjoying the blessings of God. I know it's so, sometimes it gives us this feeling of fulfillment that for as long as I hold this person in my heart, then I'm hurting him. You know what? You're hurting yourself more. Praise God. You are hurting. And I can tell you there are so many times God has been speaking to your heart. You just forgive. You just let it go. Praise God. And that's why in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus, you know, taught us that we've got to forgive other people as God forgives us our sins. Because He understands that unforgiveness will stop us from enjoying the blessings of God. So if you're in church right now, if there's somebody you are holding in your heart, let it go. Amen. Let it go. Because sometimes as Christians, we really pray and it's ineffective because we have unforgiveness. In fact, the scripture tells us that if we have sinned against a brother, before we come and pray, we should first and foremost go and ask for forgiveness or forgive the brother, then come back and pray. It's such a powerful way of us allowing the blessings of God to flow in our lives. Amen. Get rid of unforgiveness. Get rid of hatred and replace it with the love of God. Love attracts His grace and favor because that's who God is. He's a God of love. So where love dwells, God comes in easily. Amen. His presence comes in there easily. He says, what else do you need? Because I can see love, which is exactly what he said. The scripture tells us, by these shall men truly know that you are my disciples because of the love of God that dwells in our hearts. Amen. As Christians, in order for us to enjoy His blessings, we've got to walk in the fullness of His love. And I'm not just talking about saying it, but living it, demonstrating it. Praise God. Demonstrating it, because that's who He is. You know, the reason why Jesus was so exalted the way He was simply because He walked in love all throughout. Jesus was moved with compassion so many times that He healed people, so many times that He provided food for them. That is love. Praise God. That is love. So you want to attract and get the blessings of God into your life, walk through love. Amen. Break the legs of hatred. Amen. You're standing right now on that leg of hatred. Break it and replace it with love. And God is just going to help you in Jesus' name. The fourth point I'd like to state this morning, this afternoon for some of us who are here is you've got to replace self with service. You've got to replace self with service. You know, one of the things that God hates is pride. He can't stand it. When you sort of believe that you are sufficient in yourself, when you sort of believe that you are able to solve every problem by yourself and you don't need God, like we had this morning, when you sort of think that you can fight the battle yourself, and truly it's God's battle, it's God wanting to help you, but you are holding back. Humanity has limits. Amen. We do have limits. When I look at creation, when I study creation, when I look at the world itself, it's so deep that I don't think as human beings we'll be able to fully comprehend God's creation or the reason why some certain things are the way they are. Because we keep changing, we keep discovering new things. That's how deep the wisdom of God is. So we've got to understand as human beings, we are limited. So when human beings tell you that, you know, I remember last week in church here, when I'm sure a lot of us did remember when the CBA, RBA governor came and said, no, interest rate is not going to go up until 2024. And we believed him because we felt he should know what he's talking about. But some of us who are Christians should have reminded ourselves, he's not God, I better be careful. But so many people believed and we're buying houses. And suddenly in 2023, he said, hey, hang on, the inflation is going up high. We've got to do something. And now they are smashing us with a lot of interest rate. And we're now saying we must fire him. He's put us in a lot of trouble. But he should have also given us a disclosure. I am not God. I'm just saying this on the basis of what I know right now. And that's the problem with humanity. When we begin to pretend as if we are God, you know what? Life can teach us otherwise. So we're not God, and we cannot replace God in our lives. And what attracts God most in us is our service to him. And that's why I said, replace self with service. Stand on the premise, on the foundation of service in the kingdom of God. Now, let me just say this. I make some assumptions this morning in us replacing all these barriers that we are Christians and we understand that we can't live in sin. Amen. Because the greatest barrier is truly when we live in sin. We can't enjoy it. So I just assume that we're right. We know all that. But what are some of those little things that can stop us from enjoying the blessings of God? Those are the things that I'm dealing with here this morning. So replace self with service. Amen. With a complete surrendered life to God and his will. In the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the scripture tells us clearly. It says we should offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. Offer yourself. Now, when he speaks about a living sacrifice, now that seems a little bit confusing because when you talk about sacrifice, it's something that is dead. It's something that has been killed. Blood has been sniffed out of his life. But he's saying, you offer yourself a living, in other words, something that is living, but in essence also dead at the same time. Dead to your will, dead to yourself, but living unto God and knowing that he is the one who can help you. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable, what makes sense, your reasonable service. When you surrender every single thing to God, when you allow God to take full control, you know what? His blessings comes easily. You attract his blessings. And every single one who has lived, use some of these principles, you could see that the blessings of God coming over. You look at the life of Abraham. He was someone who knew how to completely surrender himself to the will of God. When God spoke to him, he went. When God asked him for anything, he gave. David was someone who learned to completely surrender himself to the will of God. He was someone who could not hate. He was someone who had to love. Even when he had the opportunity to destroy his enemy, he filled it with love. And that's why God said, you are the man after my own heart. Because I can see love in your heart. I can see love in your spirit. He was somebody who was also knowledgeable about God. Amen. He knew the will. He knew the plans of God. Amen. He was also someone who did not live in fear. He knew how to trust God. In the book of Psalms chapter 16 verse 8, he said, I have set the Lord always before me. Therefore, I will not be afraid. Amen. So if you get rid of fear, replace it with faith and courage. It gives you the foundation to attract the blessings of God. If you replace ignorance with the knowledge of God, it provides a strong foundation for you to walk in the fullness of his blessing. If you replace unforgiveness, hatred in your heart with God's love, it also gives you the ability to also enjoy his blessings in your life. And lastly, if you replace self with service in the kingdom of God, I tell you something. The God looks at your heart and says, you are truly my child. And whatever you need to live a blessed life, whatever you need to live a satisfied life, I would give it to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Have you been blessed this morning? Amen. Come on, give God a hand of praise wherever you are this morning in Hill City Church. I just want you, wherever you are, every one of you, I just want you to stand up this morning and just have a word with God. Even in this auditorium here, just have a word with God this morning. Just have a word. Just have a word. I'm sure a lot of us do have battles in some of these four areas that we've been standing on. It could be fear that you need to get rid of this morning. Amen. I want you to talk to God this morning. It could be unforgiveness in your heart. It could be hatred one way or the other. I want you to deal with that this morning. It could just be yourself. You find it difficult to really surrender yourself to God. This morning, I want you to use this opportunity to just bring that down and let God take his glory over your life this morning. And for some of us, it could be the fact that we've not taken time to understand his God, his purpose, and his will for our lives. And you just need the knowledge, the revelation, the understanding of God. Because there are some certain level of blessings that can't come over your life except by revelation, except you understand. And God wants to reveal himself to you in a fresh new way. I want you to talk to him this morning in Hill City Church. I want you to talk to him this morning. Have a word with him. Have a word with him. He wants you to enjoy the fullness of his blessing. In fact, God has done every single thing that he needs to do for you. But it's just for you to create the atmosphere for his blessing to be attracted into your life and into your spirit. Father, we thank you for the word this morning. And we pray that, Father, as we go back and begin to walk in what we have learned this morning, I pray that our spirit, our mind will be open to your will in every way. We thank you, mighty God, for this time and for this moment. In Jesus' name we have prayed. And everybody says, amen. Hill City Church, thank you very much. Thank you for this opportunity. And I know you'll be truly blessed in Jesus' name. I'm just going to invite your pastor to be back and just round up. Amen.